So, as I said, we will discuss the different cloud models in detail. So, first is the software as a service, or the SaaS model as it is popularly called. So, this capability provides the consumer to use the applications running on a cloud infrastructure. The applications could be accessed from the various client devices. It could be from a mobile phone, laptop, desktop, thin client, web interface, etc., etc. So, software as a service, the point to remember here is that you just get to use the software. You do not have to worry about the underlying infrastructure. You do not have to worry about its hireability. You do not have to worry about the security, things like where it is hosted, right? So, say for example, Gmail, right? You get to use Gmail, which is email as a service. Do you anytime worry about where it is hosted or what is the CPU that the server is consuming? No, right? So that is the classic example of software as a service. Consider the case of say Netflix. Again, it's software as a service. Say if I have to use something like for my office, if I have to use things like Zoho, which is meant for the office usage, it could provide me say a PowerPoint, or it could provide me some kind of CRM, right? So it's again as a service. I do not have to worry about the underlying infrastructure. I do not have to worry about the auto scaling. I do not have to worry about how will it adapt to the rapidly changing environment. It's just pay per use. It could be either a license based or it could be a time based usage, right? So that's software as a service. So just imagine, right? Again, a small example. Say imagine if you are in a classroom and you are expected to get a painting. So if you have a final painting, that is software as a service to you. If I have to, you're given a room and you have to say decide where you need to put the drawing board, where you could actually sketch, what all colors to take. So that's infrastructure as a service. So coming on to our second model, platform as a service. So this basically a capability is provided to the consumer to deploy onto the cloud infrastructure a consumer-created application, and which could use a whole host of different programming languages. The consumer does not have to manage that platform or the underlying cloud infrastructure as such, which was similar to the SaaS. But in case of a SaaS, everything was provided to you as a common package. So again, if we have to take an example of that drawing board, so imagine a case where inside that room you are provided a drawing board and a canvas on which you have to paint. There are certain colors and everything which are kept. But then what do you have to paint, how do you have to paint is up to you. So that's providing platform to you, right? So it's platform as a service. The last is infrastructure as a service. So, this capability is provided to the consumer to provision the end-to-end architecture as the consumer wants it. So, again, that case of the drawing board, imagine you are into that room, you have to select the drawing board, you have to select your colors, you have to actually sketch and everything. So, that's infrastructure as a service. You design the way you want your infrastructure to be, right? So, these are the three popular models. The cloud service model. So one is infrastructure as a service, which is everything the consumer has to architect and build. It could be the server storage, the network, the compute resource, the auto scaling, the security, everything, right? So that is the consumer has to design. The second is the platform as a service, where a particular platform is provided and the consumer can enhance or basically leverage that platform, because it's a pre-built platform. So you just have to have some APIs that could be integrated with that particular platform and leverage the power of that particular platform rather than building everything from scratch. And the third is software as a service, where you do not have to worry about anything, neither the platform, neither the storage, neither the design, neither the architecture. You just get an end user, an end product which you have to consume. So that's software as a service. So, as I said, these are the three models in place. And let us look at a few of the applications that use these service models. So software as a service, there is Google Apps that I spoke about. So G Suite is very popular. Salesforce.com, I took an example that it's a CRM which is meant for measuring the performance of the sales team. Zoho is again gaining popularity in the enterprise space for office segment. Platform as a service, so there is Google App Engine which is very popular. So it provides APIs for integration with your specific workloads. So if you have an application and you want to harness the power of Google App Engine, then you could just have some API calls to the App Engine. So it provides you a platform, and you can harness the power of that. So that's platform as a service. Infrastructure as a service, it could be Microsoft Azure. So Azure features in PaaS as well as it's infrastructure as a service. It's a public cloud as well. So AWS or Rackspace or the GCP, that is the Google Cloud. Again, so Google Apps is different, but Google Cloud is different. It offers infrastructure as a service as well. So let us look at software as a service and in more detail. So benefits of SaaS to SaaS is offering to the consumer. So unlike in-house software application, the consumer is not burdened with the installation procedures. He does not have to worry about the underlying infrastructure. He just has to consume that particular service. SaaS applications have very small footprints on the client computers, so it does not require a lot of things to be installed, or it's not like something that you need to have a client which resides your in your on-premise infrastructure. So it is just consuming that. Again, say for example, there is an email service, so you're just consuming that. You do not have to install a lot of clients onto your PCs. So no distribution costs, and hence well suited for the SMBs. But it's not just the SMBs, but the mid-market and the large enterprises are also adapting to a SaaS model. License management overheads can be significantly reduced using the SaaS model. So again, the pay-per-use kind of a model. Centralized management, so the SaaS provider manages the data, including the compliance, so you could have a proper compliance in place by the vendor, the security. You could also have the backup to that data in place. And as I said, the platform or the hardware is the responsibility of the provider. You do not have to worry about the underlying infrastructure. And the savings, the upfront, you basically save on the upfront CapEx investment that you would have done in case of an on-premise offering versus a SaaS offering, because it's bundling everything: infrastructure, security, backup, disaster recovering, and offering it to you as a service. So you do not have to pay any upfront cost as such. So that is the power of SaaS. So let us now address a key point in case of cloud deployments, so which is managing security issues. So security, as I said, remains one of the major concerns when we talk about cloud deployments. So security challenges in cloud may be those in traditional on-premise deployments, or those which are specific to cloud deployments. So it could be, say, so as simple as saying, as I said, give you an example that say if data which is residing close to me, which is residing in my on-premise data center, it is perceived to be more secure as compared to something which is on cloud. So how does the vendor manage that particular data? How does the vendor have a broader ecosystem of security best practices in place to avoid some kind of intrusion attacks and so on? So things that are very important are the data breaches, the data loss. It could be the hijacked accounts or the compromised credentials. It could be the hijacked interfaces or the non-secure APIs, the APIs which are used for integration. The DOS attacks or the distribution or the distributed denial of service, DDoS attacks. It could be someone who's an insider, a malicious insider as it is called. So he might have full access to everything. Or say something like not lacking the due diligence infrastructure or the due diligence framework to know who has accessed, what he has accessed, at what time has he accessed, right? So the entire audit mechanism or the audit trails, as we call them. So these are some of the security concerns that any infrastructure would have, be it a cloud or be it a on-premise deployment. And let us understand in case of cloud how these are mitigated. So as I said, data concerns. So data, data concerns continues to be the number one risk. Security is always the number one risk factor that anyone considers. For a CIO, it becomes all the more important, right? So how secure is the data? Is anyone doing a data theft, or are there any people from outside who are trying to attack, right? So the security happens to be the number one priority list for any CIO. So in case of cloud computing, it's a third party who is involved in securing the company's data, and that's where the CIOs and the leaders are still concerned about how data will be stored and controlled and processed. This has become all the more important since Google released its privacy statement, right? So there was a privacy statement by Google, and it was really controversial. So everyone said, you know, you have access to my particular data. How is it that you are having that access about where do I move, even if I have my GPS that is turned down off, and if I have data that is off, Google still knows where I'm going, where I'm traveling. So that's a concern, right? There is always a perception that data hosted on the cloud is inherently more vulnerable and susceptible to data snooping and the hacking scandal. So as I said, it's a perception, right, that anything that is on the cloud is more vulnerable to attacks as compared to anything that is on-premise, which is generally, there could be two angles to it, right? So some people might say that cloud is more secure because it's a provider's responsibility, they give you a SLA and stuff like that. But then there are people with, you know, they're still skeptical about saying that, say, hey, my data is residing somewhere, I don't know where is that server exactly, on which physical machine is my server getting hosted. So how do I ensure that my data is secure? So that's a genuine concern. So security issues with the on-premise implementation, they include authentication, authorization, availability. As I said, you have to have a high level architecture so that it's available all the time, it has a high uptime. Data, how it's stored securely, so data confidentiality, the security of that particular virtual machine, how is it secure? Other aspects are the network security, so is the perimeter security in place, firewalls are in place, IPS, IDS, the role-based access controls, the web application firewalls, are those in place? Resource location, so where exactly is that virtual machine located, and the security around it, the cloud standards, the data segregation, how is my business critical data segregated from my non-business critical data, how is the data access more secure? So we spoke about the role-based access control, right? So how do I access that particular data, through which medium, say through a mobile device, through a laptop, through a desktop, how it has to be accessed. Web application security, so I spoke about WAF, right, which is a web application firewall. So how can my application be secure? So there are two aspects. So one is getting a physical security in place, so it could be a firewall. So when I said the physical security, I am not talking about a security guard or a CCTV camera, no. I'm talking about IT security, so which is a firewall which protects the outside attacks from happening. It could be a DDoS engine which prevents outside distributed denial of service attack coming from outside. It could be a IPS, that is a intrusion prevention. And then it could be a role-based access control, so which is something like identity management, so who is accessing, so say the person's credentials can be mapped with Active Directory, which is on premise. So all these things are part of the security framework as such. So coming to the cloud security plan, so to have a robust security in place, there are a few issues. So one is you have to review what your business goals are. Basis your business goals, you obviously architect the solution on the cloud. Maintain a risk management plan. Ensure that it is being followed. What are the different risks to that particular deployment? How the risks are getting mitigated? So you have to have a risk plan in place. Next comes a security plan that supports the business needs. So basis your business needs, you have architected a solution, right? So ensure that, say for example, if I have a virtual machine, then I have the security groups attached to that virtual machine. Then I have access control policies around it. Then I have network policies around it. I have proper identity and service management. So say if Anuj as a user, I am say entitled to access only say the web application, but not entitled to access another application, then my role should be limited to accessing only that web application. So the role based access controls have to be in place. Secure corporate wide support, secure policies, procedures, proper audit mechanisms in place. So audit trails, who has accessed, what he has accessed, at what time, and a continuous improvement plan on top of the basic access policy. So it's basically an ongoing procedure. So let us also understand now the risks and the pitfalls in case of a cloud deployment. So while public cloud offers a lot of benefits to the enterprises, and we saw them, yet there are some public cloud migration holdouts that are a concern of any CIO, and that is where their hesitation is when they have to migrate a workload from an on-premise to a cloud deployment. So we all know that the cloud risks adjusted value proposition, I mean, you have to actually, you know, create a balance between the risk and the value proposition that cloud offers, and then evaluate, you know, which is a better approach. So from a CIO's perspective, there are concerns about data migration, how things can be migrated into the cloud seamlessly, how legacy applications can be migrated into the cloud. So these are some of the areas that the CIO is really interested in knowing. So again, risk is not something intrinsic to the cloud, but rather the lack of a framework in the organization itself, and managing that particular cloud service is something that is inherent to that particular organization. So and the risk issues normally associated are the data privacy and the security. So as I said, security again happens to be one of the major concerns. Again, it's a perception which will change over a period of time as the cloud adoption increases. So the potential risks include the privileged user access. So which user has access to what kind of data? So if there's an admin user, then the admin user can access everything, right? So again, a role-based access control has to be implemented very thoroughly. Regulatory compliance. So say if I into the credit card industry, then something like a PCI DSS compliance, so payment card industry has some kind of a compliance around it. Then if I'm from the healthcare industry, there is something called as a HIPAA compliance to it. So regulatory compliance should also be in place. Data location, again, taking an example of where my data is residing. So although it's a potential risk, but then at a high level, you get a feeling that, you know, because your data is stored in a region that is given to you, you know where your data is located. So you can have your application designed in such a way. The other could be the risk in terms of the data segregation. That is how my data is segregated from the other customer's data. So I give you an example of security groups. I give you an example of role-based access controls. So in case of the Amazon Web Services, they call something called as a VPC, that is a virtual private cloud. Now this cloud, again, so make no mistakes, AWS is a public cloud, but within that public cloud they allocate a particular space to you. So it's not a physical space, but it's a logical space, which they call it as a VPC or a virtual private cloud, right? So in that particular cloud, it is dedicated to you as the customer. So all your data is segregated within that particular VPC. So as a customer, you get access only to your VPC. You do not get access to other VPC. So that's how data is segregated. But yes, again, it's one of the biggest risks and biggest concerns of any CIO as to how my data is separate from other customers' data. Remember the multi-tenancy and the virtualization that we discussed. So it's built on that premise. Then there is data recovery. So suppose if data gets corrupt, then how do I recover that? So that happens to be one of the concerns. And then there is long-term viability. So say if I'm into the business for 7+ years, then what is the long-term storage capacity of that data? So if I have to archive something for longer time, so earlier people used to have the tape-based backup, right? So they used to preserve those tapes. But then if it's for a longer time, then on the cloud, then how do I do that, right? So there are things in place to address those. But yes, these happen to be the potential risks, or I would say, you know, some of the critical areas that has to be handled very carefully when designing a cloud solution. Security provisions. So when you sign a contract with a cloud service provider, then a few of the recommended security provisions should be in place. So one is the audit trails. The customer audit trails should be available on demand. The data deletion certificate. So again, basis the audit trail, if there is data that is deleted, get a audit trail around it. Get a certificate that data will not be deleted. Have a proper disaster recovery in place. So say if I have certain workloads, say provisioned in Mumbai region, then have a disaster recovery of the Mumbai region in say Singapore region, or say in another region for that matter, so as to have your business running. Then things like downtime credits. So this basically is a term which is used in the SLA, right? So if suppose for any reason the service is down, then what is the service degradation and the downtime credits that as a customer I'm entitled to get? How is my data encrypted if I'm storing it on the cloud? What are the different evaluation criteria to have my data secure when it is stored on the cloud? Full indemnification for service failure, security failure impact. So in case, say if there is a complete security failure, or if there is a hacking issue, then what is the indemnity clause which I could protect? So these are some of the things that should be considered when a contract has to be signed. So having said that, there are certain user responsibilities also when we talk about a cloud-based approach. So there are basically three. One is a consistent approach, a clear guidance from the senior leadership team as to what are the roles and responsibilities from the user. So understand this, even if we are moving things onto the cloud, it's a responsibility of the user to architect the things in a proper way and ensure that the data controls are in place. You know, so cloud is not just a magical place or a fairyland where data would reside, but you would still need to design those controls. So as a user, you should understand that there should be a clear communication that, you know, as a user, you are supposed to enter, you are supposed to access only this. If you happen to see something different or some anomaly, you have to report it. So that should be a plan of a very good communication strategy, right? Similar is the case, say if a person receives a dubious email or a phishing email, then you have to report it, right? So that's a part of the user framework. So let us now understand a few of the cloud vendors who are operating in this particular domain. So you can see, so for say the cloud security, now there are a lot of vendors who offer services on the cloud. So earlier there were companies, or there are still companies, who offer physical appliances who have to be put on premise. But then these are a few of the vendors. So I have worked with WebSense, which offers the proxy services, which is very popular. Then there is Zscaler again, which offers the cloud-based proxy. There is Trend Micro, which offers security on the cloud. Then there are certain cloud storage vendors. So something like a eVault, I have worked on that, and you can refer the others. Then there are certain cloud platforms and development platforms. So something like Red Hat or a Pivotal software. So these are very famous. Again, MuleSoft is very famous. And then the traditional the software vendors. So something like a Google, a Salesforce.com, Oracle, SAP, Tableau, right? So these are some of the software cloud-based software vendors. So if we have to talk about the PaaS vendors versus the infrastructure vendors, so the most popular IaaS providers are the AWS, the Microsoft Azure, and the GCP, that is the Google Cloud. But the others that you see are also some of the providers in the private cloud space. So say something like AT&T, CenturyLink, Verizon, NTTI. So I took the example of Netmagic. So Netmagic has been taken over by NTT in the private cloud hosting space. There is IBM, who's just announced the takeover of Red Hat. So IBM have their own cloud. There is Rackspace, who offers cloud. And then there is platform as a service provider. So Google is very famous in that. Apart from that, the others, they do offer a hybrid of the software and the infrastructure, but Google App Engine is really famous for the PaaS offering. Moving on, if we have to talk about SaaS companies, as I said, Salesforce rules it. Then there is Google, which is very famous for the G Suite. There is Microsoft Dynamics, which is again ERP, which is offered on the cloud. And then there are whole host of other providers. So there is Concur Technologies, again ERP on the cloud. SAP, again ERP on the cloud. Intuit, again ERP on the cloud. Symantec, who offers security and other hosts, other services on the cloud. Oracle Siebel, again on the cloud. So lot of these offerings which provide software, which is a complete package for you to consume. Again, the crux of software as a service is you don't have to worry about the underlying infrastructure, where it is hosted, how secure it is, the scalability, and so on. You just have to consume it. So it is a paper license or paper use kind of a use. And this is the slide which talks about the market share of the different players in the public cloud space. So I've been saying that AWS has been clearly, you know, a market leader in this particular space, followed by Microsoft, and then by Google. Alibaba has a small share also in the public cloud space, but AWS is way, way ahead in the curve right now, and the kind of services that AWS offers is just mind blowing. So if you guys are interested, just go to the AWS site, see what kind of services do they offer in the IaaS as a service. So yes, so this is just the last slide that I had to talk about. So what we saw today was how cloud helps organizations to build their business strategies, how it offers a few of the advantages as compared to the on-premise based architecture in terms of the cost advantages, quicker time to deploy, getting the competitive edge, providing the flexibility to have elastic frameworks in place, getting the security frameworks in place, and so on. So cloud, yes, I personally see cloud as going ahead as one of the key pillars in terms of the enterprise IT, and companies like AWS and Azure just ruling the market in the coming years. So I hope I've done justice to the topic. You've understood how the different cloud models are. So infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, software as a service. Then we spoke about the different deployment frameworks. So say something like a private cloud versus a public cloud versus a hybrid cloud versus a community cloud. So I think this talks about a gist of the different cloud providers and the different cloud technologies in the market right now. So I hope this has been informative to you, and I'd like to thank you for viewing.